All right, are we ready to pray? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, thank you for giving us this day. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for your grace, God, and your patience toward us. Lord, I'm thankful for the privilege we have of gathering in the name of Christ. I'm thankful, God, that we have time to encourage one another and pray for one another. I'm thankful, Lord, that you hear us when we call. And you know, Lord, there's so much going on, so much taking place in the church right now. And it's not possible, Lord, for us to mention everything, but we're thankful for you seeing Gary through his treatment. And Father, we want to lift up those who are sick currently. We know Miss Chris is struggling and heading to the doctor today. We pray, Lord, that you will be with her and heal her. We pray, God, you'll bless Miss Sam. Father, we pray that you'll bless the health of the South family, everyone that's sick there. Father, we thank you that Larry and Teresa made it safe to Florida. We pray you continue to protect them on vacation. We pray, Lord, you'll bless Robert Lee's health. We pray you'll bless Lyle and Kathy and Susan and Mary Baskins. Please, Lord, give them healing. We want to pray for Clyde. Father, we pray that you would deliver him from the infection that's attacking his kidneys. We pray you'll heal his body. And most importantly, Father, we pray that you would heal his soul. Help him, Lord, to turn and come to Christ. We pray for Teresa's family, God, and the issues that are taking place there. We pray that you'll bring peace. Help each one to be forgiving. Help each one to be patient with the other. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bring healing there. And we want to pray for the little one Kim mentioned, Russ, who had a few seizures this week. Father, please put your hand on that young man and heal his body. Father, thank you again for hearing us when we call. We know, God, that you're working on our behalf, and we're so thankful. And Father, I thank you for giving us time to study your word together. Please, Lord, as we read and as we discuss your word, please teach us, help us to grow, and God will give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 is where we are. Let's read these two verses and then talk about some things here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So last week, we talked about these two verses, but we talked about them from the side of the parents. We talked about some parenting, and I saw something this week that I have to share with you. Hopefully this will not be too loud. This is too good. This is a little young man reciting the ABCs.
The beginning of the United States.
Begin to seek and you'll find
me.
Be kind, one to another.
C.
Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you.
D.
Do not be anxious about anything.
E.
Every good and perfect gift is from above.
F.
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith.
G.
God is our refuge and strength, and ever send help in trouble.
H.
You know it's my walk and my salvation.
I.
I praise because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
J.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today. Ever, ever. Know that the Lord is God, and it's he who made us.
L.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul.
M.
My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him.
N.
Now faith is being assured, a really hopeful and certain we do not see.
O.
Oh God, you are my God. When I see, I seek you.
P.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name.
Q.
A quiet spirit is of great wealth in God's sight.
Are.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice.
S.
Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne.
T.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
U.
Under his wings, you'll find refuge. His swiftness will be your shield.
V.
The ritual I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life.
W.
We are born and conquerors through him who loved us.
X.
May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Why?
You are the light of the world.
Z.
Zion heals and rejoices.
Amen.
Hey, man, did you guys get a kick out of that?
I wondered how he was going to handle that.
He wasn't reading. He was looking around. That was awesome.
How old was he?
Oh, he was five.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you could see he's little. He's mm-hmm. little. But we talked about parenting last week, and this, you see, okay, it's possible. It's possible to train your children. That's a pretty good example. Now, today I want to look at these same verses from the side of the children. Okay? We're all children here. We're all different ages, but we're all children here. But before we do, I read these three quotes about parenting this week when I was studying, and these are amazing. So just to throw this last parenting thing before we move to the kids. This gentleman said, "The Board of Education should be applied to the seat of learning whenever necessary." Get it? Spanking. Discipline. We talked about that last week. A dad spanking his son said to him, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." And the boy said, "Yeah, but not in the same spot." And then I read another gentleman said, "Next to the rod, keep an apple to give him when he has done well." Those are some old quotes, but I thought they were perfect for what we talked about last week with parenting. But this week we're going to talk about the children's side. After the fear of God, that's what we talked about in verse 7. After the fear of God, a child's very next responsibility is to obey their parents. And I know young people don't believe this, and this is going to be exciting for me on Wednesday at youth group, just so you know. I know young people don't believe this, but our parents used to be younger, and they have learned some lessons from the mistakes that they made, and they've learned some lessons from the victories that they've won. And it is wise of children to listen to their parents. That's Solomon's first statement in verse 8. He says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, listen." And then he says, after you've listened, "Do not forsake the law of your mother. Listen and keep what you hear. Learn and never let go of it." It's so important. And we're going to see when we go to verse 10 why this is so important. Because sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is to have you, as the Bible says to Cain, but we're supposed to rule over it. And it's a sign that we're living in the last days when children are so disobedient to their parents. It's really insane the things that are taking place right now, how young people are treating their parents. And just to remind you, it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, tells us that perilous times will come in the last days, and we get a list of what these perilous times will look like. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." Now, the parents aren't exempt from that list either, because that word unloving that's in that list, that means without natural affection. Parents do not love their children the way they should, the natural affection that God has placed in us. So we see disobedience to parents. That's an issue today in these last days that we're living in. I watch true crime videos, and I see all kinds of insane things taking place with young people. But young people, when they're running with the sinful and they're rejecting the authority of their parents, they are staining their lives. It ruins their life. It causes their life to be ugly. It's sad, but it affects how people see you. Back in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9, it says that if you'll listen and you'll keep the law of your parents, verse 9 says, they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. There is a spiritual beauty that takes place when a person is pursuing holiness, especially in children. And we just listened to that video with that child. Now, the kind of encouragement that I got listening to that, you know, is something beautiful. Now, I've been around kids about that same age who have mouths full of lots of different words. And it just, it's a stain on their character. Psalm 96:9 calls this the beauty of holiness. There is something that you recognize in someone when they're walking in the wisdom of God. What is it that you're recognizing in them? What you're recognizing is Jesus Christ in them. Now, we're told in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're walking in wisdom, you carry a light with you that is seen. That's seen by the people around you. They see it in your character. They see it in the way that you live your life. They see that as a crown on your head, you are someone who walks in victory. I've had people in my family get mad at me because things have worked out well. And I don't go around bragging about how things are going in my life, but thinking about it, it just helps me to see, to apply this truth. They can see that there is a victory. There's a victorious life happening because the things of the world don't pull me down and they don't destroy me. And people can see it. Whether they like it or not, I can't do anything about that. But they can see it. It's like wearing a crown. The wisdom of God is like wearing a necklace that guides you and protects you. That's what the Bible says. And when people interact with you, they can see that there's something bigger going on. You can recognize it in people, especially kids. Especially kids. So taking it one step further, I just want to say, not only does it bring a light to your life that people can recognize, but obeying your parents is a command of God. It is a commandment of God. And since it is a commandment of God, it carries with it consequences for obedience and for disobedience. Let's turn for a minute to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." A child that is in the Lord, they need to understand that God has commanded them to be obedient to their parents. And he says in the first verse there that it's the right thing to do. So it's the right thing to do. And if you love the Lord Jesus, okay, it should be your heart's desire to do the right thing. To do the right thing. Colossians 3:20, you don't have to turn there, but it also says that obeying your parents is something that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Colossians 3:20, it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Not only will you make your parents happy if you're obedient, but you make the Lord happy when you're obedient. It pleases him. When your parents ask you to do something, okay, this becomes your number one mission in life, to get it done. And when you're obedient to your parents, you're obedient to God. So young people need to learn to practice obedience. Practice obedience. They're going to love this on Wednesday. When I tell them that they should obey quickly, number one, they should obey quickly. They should only have to be told to do something one time. One time. Do it the first time. Make it a habit. As soon as you're asked to do something, you stop what you're in the middle of and you go do it. You don't complain about how busy you are. You do it quickly. You do it the first time. Number two, you should do it cheerfully. You should do it cheerfully. Getting angry, slamming doors, throwing down your controller, your video game controller, is not acceptable. You do it because this is what God has called you to do. Something else I was reminded of when I was studying this week. The Bible never commands parents anywhere that they have to obey their children. Parents are never commanded to obey their children. Children are commanded to obey their parents. So what am I saying? Corinne, I'm telling you that you're in charge.
Right.
Go ahead.
But I think like when there's respect from the parent to the child, then obviously no matter what, there should be respect. But I'm saying like when kids ask us to do something, we're always like, not always, but sometimes when we're busy, we're like, okay, hold on, give us a second.
Yes.
Why can't kids do the same thing? Like I feel like if they say it respectfully, that's what.
Well, there's. Right? It's not like. There's a hard, fast rule that if they're in the middle of, doing the dishes, right? You already told them to do the dishes, or they're doing their homework, and then you give them something else to do. Melissa does that to me. Melissa will ask me to do something, and then ask me to do something else while I'm in the middle of doing the first thing that she asked me to do. And I say, I will do that as soon as I get done doing this first thing you asked me to do, right? So I'm not... I'm just using that as a yes, yes.
Okay, okay.
But we talked about the parent side last week, that they do have to be respectful. And they do have to love their children and lead them properly and lead by example. And we're not talking about being abusive. We're not talking about being harsh. But as long as the parents are doing their side, the children have to keep up their side. They have commandments too that they have to obey. That's all I'm saying. And when they're doing something that is insignificant, that they can put aside, they need to do it. You may.
I've been here with you, Corinne. I think I'm following you, sis. When you talk about you ask your child to do something and they have the remote control.
Yeah.
They're in the middle of a game, and these games are important to them, and they're stacking up their points, and they're having that competition thing. And it's the respect, right? It's the respect to let them finish for 5 minutes, say, and, you know, finish up that round and not just throw your remote down. And we might be getting a little too particular here, but is that what you're...
Well, I've had my kids ask me, like, nicely, like, hey, Mom, can you give me just a few minutes?
Sure, you can discuss it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to be rude to them. No one's saying that. And I know because Luke, when Luke's playing a game and he's online... with other people, and it needs to be finished, okay, that's one thing. But outside of that, every game has a pause button, right? I mean, you can pause the game, you can come back. Yes, there's give and take on both sides. There's give and take on both sides, am I right? The problem that we have is when you have to continually ask, well, I asked you 20 minutes ago and you said it would be 5 minutes.
Right.
And I asked you, you know, yesterday and it's still not done, what happened? You know, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Yes, don't be so strict, you guys.
Not running a military camp.
Yeah. All right, I don't have to explain to anybody in here. You know when they're being obedient or they're not, right? You know. I asked you to do this. You said give me 5 minutes. It's been an hour. What are you doing? You know the difference. You know the difference. The only time that a child doesn't have to obey, okay, is if they're asked to do something that God says is wrong. Then I expect them to say no. But I will give you a list. Cleaning your room, doing your homework, mowing the yard, taking out the garbage, doing dishes. Those things are not evil. Those are not evil. So children have a command. In verse 1 of Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's a command to honor your parents. And part of that is obedience, but it's more than that. Like I mentioned, it's being obedient, but it's being respectful. It's helping out when necessary. You really want to shock your parents. You look for ways to help before they even ask you. That would blow their mind. But I'll tell you another way that you could honor your father and mother, and that is to not be ashamed of them. Not be ashamed of them and not talk bad about them. Give them honor. That's a command from God. Verse 3, not only do we have the the right thing to do. We have the command to honor, but we're also promised a blessing. Obedience brings a blessing. It says in verse 3, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. When parents, and we talked about parents last week, when parents are not doing their job, the home is in turmoil. Right? When children don't do their job, the home is in turmoil. But when each side does what they're supposed to, this promise goes into effect, that it may be well with you. Things go much smoother when everyone's doing their part. And when people are resisting the God-given authorities that He's placed in their life, there's chaos. There's chaos, whatever area that is, but especially when it comes to parents. There's a promise that it'll go well with you. So many young people are bringing all kinds of trouble on themselves because they're trying to do it their own way. And they're refusing to submit to their parents' authority. If they would just listen and they would be obedient, things would go well with them.
Don't you think we've got a problem, though, with our legal system and our school systems, that kids are getting mixed messages that they have rights and that the parents, they don't have to listen to their parents because they have their own rights, regardless of their age?
Well, we talked about it a little bit last week with the parents, and what we talked about was the fact that in the Bible, no one else is given the responsibility of raising your kids except the parents. And yes, they are getting those mixed messages, but I think it'll be well with us as long as they don't get mixed messages from us. And that means staying in discussion with them, staying in communication with them, finding out what's going on at school, finding out what they're into, so you know what's going on and you can give them direction. They need that because of all the mixed messages. So not only do we have a promise that it'll be well with you, but also there is this promise that you may live long on the earth. Now, does that mean that if you obey your parents, you won't die young? No, but I think it does mean that if you will take the wisdom of your mother and father and apply it and listen and keep it, you will avoid doing things that could bring you an early death. And whether that fits into that verse or not, that is truth. How many young people, their parents were trying to stop them, and they went and did what they were going to do anyway, and they didn't survive. I was, as I was thinking about this, I had a flashback to a guy named Len Bias. Before I tell you, anybody remember the name Len Bias? Len Bias is the same age as Michael Jordan. Drafted the same year as Michael Jordan. 2 days after he was drafted by the Boston Celtics, he tried cocaine for the first time, and he died. And as I was thinking about that, it popped in my head. I looked it up. Someone had just written an article recently, because it was like an anniversary of that, and the article was about what if, you know, what if he would have survived, and it's a scary truth. It is, but it only takes one mistake. Parents are not crazy. Obedience is possible. Obedience is possible. You can obey your parents. I know it may seem like it's hard, but it is possible. And I want to show you this group of people who God praised for obeying their parents. Their name is the Rechabites. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah 35, verse 1. I really love this story. Jeremiah 35, 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, his brothers and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan. All these names.
Yeah.
Verse 5. Then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons, forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, our father, and all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyards, field, or seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. God is using him as an example. Jump down to verse 16. Verse 16, the Lord says, surely the sons of Jonadab have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not obeyed me, using them as an example. These guys can obey their father, but you guys don't. And then the blessing that follows, verse 18. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. The blessing of obedience would carry on, not only through that generation, but the ones to follow. There is a blessing that comes from obedience to your parents. There is also consequences for disobedience. Disobedience will destroy you. Let's go back now to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, and let's finish this section. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. Why is this so important? Verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And here's the truth that young people need to know, whether raised in a godly home or not. As soon as you step outside, the world is waiting to pounce on you and pull you away from God and steal your life and, if possible, kill you. You need to know that. That temptation is coming. That temptation is coming for everyone. The sinners are there and they're going to entice you. They seduce you with a promise of so much. But the things that sin promises are always a lie. Always a lie. They promise so much, and in the end, you only lose. The only thing you gain from this, they're gonna make these promises. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Come on, we'll split everything. We'll split it all. We'll share in it. But these blessings that they're promising are all counterfeit. It's a counterfeit blessing. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. A few proverbs to go with this, if you want to write them down, or you can follow me if you want to. I'm going to go fast. Proverbs 10:2 says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. An honest day's work God will bless. But when you gain by dishonesty, that bag has a hole in it, and you're going to lose it. Proverbs 28:22, a man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. It's a counterfeit blessing. It's not going to last. By the way, not only is it a counterfeit blessing, but you're being promised this by counterfeit friends. By counterfeit friends. Look again at verse 11 and 12. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. They give themselves away. See what they're saying? The guy that we're about to attack is innocent. What does that mean for you? It means you're the one that's guilty. You're the one that's guilty. They give themselves away. They're attacking someone who is innocent, who has done nothing wrong, and that makes them guilty. Not only that, but they give themselves away in verse 12, where they say, let us swallow them alive like Sheol, the grave. They're comparing themselves to death. Let's take them like the grave takes people. These are not good people to hang around, who love death. That's insane. Now, if that is how they treat good people, how do you think they're going to treat you when they don't need you anymore? These aren't friends. This is a counterfeit friend. The moment it will help them, they will turn on you. They'll turn on you. This is how it works. Sinners, they love money. Sinners, they love sin, and they use people to get it. They use people to get it. But the saints, okay, they love people. They love people, and they use their life to help them. It's totally opposite. Sinners, they like to make others suffer so that they can prosper. But saints are willing to suffer to help others. These are not real friends. These people don't care about you. Sinners are after you. And that goes for all of us. That doesn't go away when you get older. Sinners are after you. And you need to be careful. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." So much promise. They promise all these possessions, all this spoil, all this cash.
And just because something's legal does not mean it's right.
Yes, that's a good point. Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right. What does God say is what matters. Verse 15, after going through the enticement there, the father continues in verse 15 and he says, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path." You know, all things being considered, like we talked about, I wish young people would understand what when their parents tell them no, they're doing it for their good. Verse 16, "For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." Okay, have you ever tried to catch a bird? No? Have you ever chased after a bird?
I don't chase chickens.
Okay, you chase chickens? Now, when a bird, okay, is watching you, and you try to catch him, what does he do? He flies away. Okay? This was so cool. When Pastor was talking about the animals praising God, don't let the animals praise God better than you. Okay? I was smiling because I was thinking about the birds that we're going to talk about. A bird has a small brain. Okay? But a bird knows well enough to fly away when there is a trap being set for it. Okay? We should be able to recognize that when this enticement is happening, a trap is being set for us. And we should run for our life. Have you ever seen the trap being set for you? Have you ever stepped in the trap? That happens sometimes. To flee, when you see trouble coming, you have to flee. Flee. It's another proverb. Proverbs 27:12. "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished." They walk right into the trap. They walk right into the trap. When you have somebody promising you things that God has not given you, and they promise it in ways that you know God doesn't approve of, you are being set up. You are being set up. And by the way, anytime anybody comes to you and tells you you're going to get rich quick, you should hang up the phone or close the door or whatever you got to do to get away, because it's a lie. That's not how things work. But you know, that's a big business these days.
Yeah.
Trapping people, scamming people, using people. Those traps are set all the time. People walk right into them. So not only is it counterfeit blessings or counterfeit friends, but you also see here that it is a counterfeit life to live. It's a counterfeit life to live. Proverbs 1, verse 18 and 19. "But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner." You have to recognize that you're not setting a trap for someone else. Yes, they may be affected, but you're setting a trap for yourself. You're setting an ambush for yourself. It reminds me of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "The wages of sin is death." Romans 6:23. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." It's the only way to life. The only true promise that sin can give you is death. There's nothing else to be gained. Oh, sin promises a lot. And it may taste sweet at first, but there's always the consequence. My last proverb, and then we'll pray and get out of here. Proverbs 20:17 says, "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel." It's a lie. It's a lie. God knows what he's talking about. We've all seen this stuff. And I pray that we would learn to recognize the traps that are being set for us. And I pray for the young people of this church. And that's one of the things I pray about. Oh, that God would protect them from evil. And I know the evil is after them. Sinners are out there trying to entice them, steal their life. Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this time in your word. It's always alive and powerful, your word is, and I'm so thankful that we get to study it together. And I pray, Lord, these things will be hidden in our heart so that we might not sin against you. I pray, Lord, you give us awareness to recognize the traps that are being laid for us, and we would be wise enough to flee from evil and pursue righteousness. Lord, please continue to bless this morning. Please bless this service that's about to start. Please use it, God, to draw people closer to yourself. Use it, God, to magnify your name. And we ask it all through Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all. Have a great day. Happy New Year.
Happy